Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has so much to say to us, His people. He speaks to us from the heart, heart to heart. And I love the way the Lord do things. I love the way He makes up His mind to operate according to His wonderful love and wisdom towards us. He knows how to get us out of trouble. He knows how to use His light to help us see Him, see through the darkness of this evil world. And now He's about to return. The King is coming. He's not coming as a baby, like Elder May taught years ago. He's coming back as a king. He's not coming back as a baby this time. He's coming as a king. And people have seen the light. They've heard the voice of His word. And they made decisions. And now He is about to take what's His. And terrible judgment is going to fall on the earth. Those that refuse to believe and refused knowledge, rejected knowledge, they'll receive strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. The Lord has to do this. Remember, when people take a position, then the Lord has to deal with it. When people choose the light, then God welcomes them into the kingdom of God. And He rejoices to do so. That's what He desires for every one of us. But when people decide of their own free will to reject the gospel and do it their way, then God still has to make a decision. And He knows what He's doing. He has to make a choice. He has to do something against the problems that do exist. Now, when he has a plan for every individual, whether they go to heaven or hell, whether they choose the light or reject the light and choose darkness. The illusion is that everything is okay, just like it is. But with darkness, there are all forms of traps in the darkness. And the only way to see your way out is to walk in His kind of love. But when people follow Him, God can save them out of the evil that exists. He had to make a plan for people who reject the light. People who would rather have the darkness. And He has priests in place when people lack knowledge, when they don't understand. They need somebody praying for them. They need somebody representing their case before the Lord so the Lord can minister to them. And Jesus Christ is our high priest. He helps us stay true to the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, He manifests Himself seven ways, just like we covered in the last broadcast. Wisdom, counsel, knowledge, understanding, might, spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. And none of those things will work if you don't have light in you. If a person loses the light of God's word, they change. We pointed that out in the last broadcast. See, when you have the love of God in you and you do something wrong, the fear of the Lord will rise up. If there's no love in you, you won't respond. You won't care about the fear of the Lord. And you're walking your way. And then the Lord has to make a plan for people who do that. Just like He has to make a plan for those who receive light and receive truth. And once they become stable, then God will give them something to do that they should be doing. He has a plan. If you choose to follow Him with enthusiasm, with determination, He has a plan for you. If you follow Him with all your heart, if you're just a survivor, a person that want to stay saved and you're not trying to do anything more than that, He has a plan for that. But all of his plans lead to the best. And so when you follow God, sometimes because of the way people think, they don't go forward. They're not trying to be a preacher. They're not trying to do outreach. They're just trying to survive day to day. They don't know that they can thrive because they don't know the word. But if they start studying the word and get the word in them, then the Lord has more to work with throughout their life. Throughout their life. But if they don't take time and receive the word, then the Holy Spirit he don't have many tools to work with to get them to see him. Now, everybody that go to heaven, they wish they could, first of all, they want to stay. And when they experience the wonderful love of heaven, they want to do something for people on earth. So, if you draw near to the Lord, you're going to find your capabilities and you're going to change your mind about how much you want to do for others. You're going to want to do more. And that's the way it works. You're going to be more enabled to do more. And you're going to desire to do more. And that's where life is. That's where the secret place is. That's where the will of God is. And people don't know it, but everybody wants the will of God. They just don't know it. But people that love darkness, they'll refuse it. So he has to make a plan on them. We pointed out yesterday how sin limits you. It takes something from you. You don't see things the same when you have sin in your life. But when it's gone and you understand the word and what God meant in the first place and you have more word, then you can reject that sin. You know that it's a trap. People don't always know that the darkness and the sin is a trap. And it's hard to get out of because it changes your perspectives. It changes your desires. It consumes your desires. It consumes your perspectives. You don't see God like you once did. Only through the love of God will you know him, will you see him. And then if you love him, and you have his kind of love, you have peace. And with that, the peace and the love, you receive the word of God. You get stronger. And you find yourself doing greater and greater things. You find yourself standing when you would fall. You find yourself laughing when you would cry. You find yourself being victorious when you used to give up. Because the word of God is in you. And if people don't take time and receive his word, they can't know these things. They won't have appetite for it. How many times, you know, in my life, I learn from the Lord. I have information. But I notice that the Lord don't use me to give that information unless people can receive it. If they're too depressed, they won't receive it. Depressed people, they're the opposite of a person that's full of the word of God. And that's their only problem. They're looking at the darkness. They feel trapped. They feel like there's no way that they can get out. Even if they see other people win in life, they feel like they can't do it because they have a void of the word of God. I'm not depressed. And it's been a very long time since I even felt depressed. And if I felt depressed, it was over something. So it hadn't been a problem in my life. I had a very good childhood. I had some hard knocks as an adult. I didn't get the best job at first. So I had my own share of problems, but I was a hard worker and I wanted to know God. But one thing that I did have, I put the word in my heart. So if you put the word in your heart, even when things don't go your way, you can't be depressed with the word in your heart. It's impossible. You have to deplete what's in your heart before you can be depressed, because depression is just like it sounds. Imagine a balloon full of air. All right, it's full of air, but it's not depressed. It can't fly because the air is just as heavy as the air around it. But let's say you put helium in it. Now it can rise above the clouds until the sun pops it. It'll go up because it's inflated with helium. But when the helium wears out, the helium can leak through the rubber. And then it'll just have air. But it's not depressed. It just can't fly. But let's say you put a vacuum on that balloon and suck all the air out. Now it's depressed. It's shriveled up like a razor. And that's how the part is of those who are depressed. The only reason they're depressed is because they will not fill their heart with the word. And then the word that they do receive, their focus is on the problems of this world. And the Lord taught me that depression starts with a sorrow, any kind of sorrow. If you dwell on that, if you think on that sorrow, it will deplete what's left of the word in your heart, and you'll start worrying. And it'll become depression. And instead of having no air at all, it'll suck all the word out of you, and you'll be like a razor, all shriveled up, and you can't see yourself winning anymore. Now the Lord taught me how. I said, Lord, how does, you know, I thought about a lot of people are depressed, and I love people, and they're depressed, and I can't help them. One thing that I failed to do is help a depressed person. And I said, what's going on? What's going on with depression? And I thought about it. I said, the Lord taught me many things, but I never saw them about depression. One day I thought about it, and I said, well, teach me about depression. And he taught me that it's simple. It starts with a sorrow, and it becomes depression, just like I just explained. But it's an absence of the word in your heart. All you have to do is fill your heart with the word. Now, once you receive the word, reject the sorrowful thoughts, because it'll start another process of depression. Don't worry. Now, Reverend Rice helped me to not worry. He helped me to master worry. He said, you know, I saw clear as day, you don't have to worry. Some parents think that they got to worry about their children, because they think in their mind, they think in their logic, in their way of thinking, they think that's love. Don't confuse it. Worry is not love. Worry is saying that you're doomed. Worry causes you to waste the word that you did receive. Whatever strength you've got, worry will steal it from you. And then you'll end up back in the ditch, back in the ditch of depression, shriveled up like a raisin, with no hope. Depression takes all of your hope away, not just some of it, but all of it. And you'll walk around even angry at God, and God had nothing to do with your depression. You don't even accuse the accuser. You don't. When people are depressed, they don't even think about, I'm going to fight Satan back. They excuse Satan, and they always do. And they see the Lord working in other people's life, but they feel doomed. And then they don't even excuse Satan. And they think that it's God behind their demise, their problems. God had nothing to do with their problems. Your choices, it's your choices. It's your choices. It's always choices. We can choose to receive God's word. We can choose to reject it. We can choose the things of this world, and we can choose the things of God at our will. We can choose to do something about our problems, and we can choose to do nothing about our problems. And that's not an accusation. That's just how it rolls out. But when you fill your heart with the Word of God, you may not need that part that you're reading today, but it'll be there in your heart tomorrow or 10 years from now. So if you fill your heart day and night with the Word of God, it's going to bless you in measures you can't imagine. You're going to want to do more for God. You're going to want to be a blessing to people. You're going to want to seek the Lord. You're going to want to help people. You're going to want to know more. I remember when I didn't even want to be a preacher, because in my mind, I didn't know what to do. And I knew it was important. A high calling, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't feel comfortable because it was an unknown. And the Lord, a desire came, and I said, well, I still didn't want to do it. I just wanted to have a business and make a lot of money and support people that are preachers and just enjoy the word. And you know, in those days, I didn't know what I know now. I didn't know the condition of the church. I thought everything was wonderful. You know, I get excited about the way, and the Lord let you be, you know, he know what time it is. He know how bad it is, but I also began to see how good it can be. And in my life, it was good. And all of my doctrine wasn't in place yet, but I thought I was right, you know, but I enjoyed it. In some areas I was right, in some areas I was wrong, just like anybody. But as I began to study the scriptures, I got stronger. Years went by. I learned some things. I heard from God from time to time. Then when he called me to the ministry, I didn't want to do it until he gave me my first message. That's when I got interested. See, I didn't know that God would give you a message. He gave me a message. I said, if he'll give me a message, I want to do this. Because it wasn't on me anymore. It was on him. I said, well, I still don't know what I'm doing. I said, so I had a strategy. I had a pastor that would receive messages from the Lord. I said, well, Lord, what I'm going to do, since I don't know what I'm doing, and I understand that I'm capable of believing wrong, I'm going to receive what you give me, and I'm going to preach exactly what you give me, and I'm going to stop. I'm not going to go any further. I'm not going to add anything to it or take anything away. And I'm going to watch. And that was my strategy. And I learned from what God gave me. And see, the church I went to had doctrinal problems. You know, they talked about what women should and shouldn't wear. They talked about they didn't believe in women preachers. They didn't believe in jewelry. They didn't believe in a lot of things. It was a holiness church. Some people didn't believe in sports. Some did. Some didn't believe in going to the movies. Some did. So I said, well, Lord, I'm going to preach what you give me. And he never gave me not one sermon on the way women should dress except to be modest. He didn't say they couldn't wear pants, and he didn't say they could or couldn't wear makeup or jewelry. The focus, Paul was saying that the braided hair and the jewels and all this, the focus should be on the inner man, not the outer man. He didn't say you couldn't do it. And he never told me to tell nobody that they could or couldn't wear it. So I heard videos of it, but I leave things like that between God and the person. But personally, he didn't tell me to preach it, so I left it alone. And then one day he taught me that he didn't care about women wearing pants. That was a rule that people made. But paying attention to the Lord, you learn the truth. Now, years went by, and he had me to study chapters instead of scriptures. And I went from chapters to books sometime. But every day I would read 15 chapters. That's how I got started. I started with scriptures, but when I began to read those chapters, the Lord began to dialogue with me. After about 3 months, he started talking to me like he talked with Moses face to face, and he was able to explain some things. And I wanted to be able to believe what he was saying because I can't see him saying it. So I had to judge it by the word of God, and just like we all do. And so I asked him specific questions, and he gave me specific answers, and then I found it in the Word, and I was all right. I could go with that. Now, when you fill your heart with the Word of God, you can cooperate with him. When you cooperate with him, then you can see him move, and you get a greater understanding, and you're capable of understanding more truth. It's impossible to be depressed when you're continually filling your heart with the Word of God. Now, when you walk in his kind of love and you're continually receiving the word, it's hard for that word to be stolen from you because you have a passion for it. You love it. It's work. It causes your life to work. It causes your life to flow the way it should flow. And you can tell when something's not right, and you can avoid it, which enables you to keep more of the word, because everything that the enemy gets by you, if he can sneak one in on you, it absorbs some of the word. You know, when I first started preaching, the Lord would give me a wonderful message. He would give me that message, and I could feel it burning in my heart, just like when Jesus taught the disciples. I mean, I could physically feel it burning. It was good. I wished I could have preached that moment. But 3 weeks would go by they'd invite me to preach. It'd be 3 or 4 weeks away. So God would give me a message, and then by the time I get to preach, I have to read my message off an outline. It would be absorbed. I said, and years went by with this. I said, Lord, why is it that when you give me a message, I feel just like a kid at Christmas, anticipating his toys? I'm excited from the inside out. I can't wait to preach that word. Then when it's time for me to preach it, I have to read it off paper, and I feel empty inside. He said, the enemy's been siphoning the word out of your heart. And he does it through frustrations. And back then, I'm still a mechanic, but I had my first mechanic business. And I would go to the parts store, and that was the year when GM would put different motors in different brand cars, so you never knew what you had unless you had the VIN number or looked at the label to see what kind of motor. They'll put a Chevrolet motor in a Pontiac, or a Pontiac motor in a Buick. It was stupid. So I had a lot of reasons to have frustration. They say they got the water pump. I get that. It's the wrong one. It's the wrong starter. It's made fit on the other side. It was crazy. So that would frustrate me. Then I get there. They don't have it because they got the wrong one. And then they got to order it. That now I got to drive all the way and find one somewhere else. And I worked at people's houses. If you're frustrated, that can absorb the word. If people, women would try to tempt you, that absorbs the word. Everything that can go wrong will go wrong. But the Lord helped me to stand. But it absorbs the word out of you. And by the time you preach, see, preaching is not without a fight. The enemy will do anything he can imagine against you to get the word out of you so you'll collapse. And some people collapse and fall into depression. I didn't fall into depression because I had another word to live by. And I was thoroughly frustrated because there was so much wrong. And so I had all these problems. I couldn't make money as fast when all this happened. So that was a problem. And sometimes I'd fix a car and something would break, then I have to go fix another car, make money, come back and finish the one I started. And at the end of the day, I make zero by the time I do all that, by parts. All these things would absorb the word out of you. And then I'd make money, and that, you know, God always helped me. He was always there. Doesn't matter what you go through, you got to have the word in you. But the years after I started studying chapters, everything got better and better. It was easier to believe God. It was easier to live. It was easier to go forward. But see, when you have the love of God in you, it forms a foundation. It helps you to receive the word and retain it. Some people go to good churches, they receive the word, but they don't retain it well because of their love. They lack love. You have to determine to love the most difficult people in order for your love to remain in place. First Peter will help us do that. Love people love people as a standard. And you can do anything by faith, so you can love by faith too. And you can forgive by faith. And you can also decide not to retaliate by faith. You can also decide not to give in. I learned not to require anything of anyone when the Lord taught me how to love his people. I had him to help me learn how to love his people. And that's how I learned many other things. See, through learning how to love people, I learned to thrive and overcome every form of temptation a man could have. Because he taught me to love women that was trying to flirt. He taught me to love people that were angry. He taught me to see other people's side of things. Sometimes people just have a hard day themselves. And then you come and they're naturally short with you because of another problem. It's not personal. The Lord taught me not to take things personal. And when people are at their weakest moment, be strong for them. That's when they need you the most. And through this, the word was not absorbed. I didn't start feeling frustrated. I was able to do I was able to operate just like Jesus, because that was my goal. I wanted to represent him. I'm not here to represent Thurston. The Lord, I'm already in good shape. I'm going to heaven. My sins are washed away. I don't carry that load. I have so many reasons to rejoice. And I chose the high road. I just every time throughout life, from time to time, I would choose the high road. At the crossroad, I choose the high road. I follow Jesus and stay on the narrow path. Now, if you keep on filling your heart with the Word of God and talking and having conversations with him, you're going to get to know him. And when you know him, it makes all the difference. Though now the Lord is telling me he's about to abruptly return. That means all at once, ready or not, he's coming. He's going to return, and he's doing this strategically. But he told me several times for the last 3 or 4 weeks that only those that have the word in them will be taken. The kind of people that he's going to rapture are people that's full of the word of God. They're washed in the blood, and if they were in the same position that Adam was in, they will not steal off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They won't eat off the fruit. They won't do the evil things from the heart. They'll do what's right. They have integrity, and they're washed in, because they're washed in the blood, and because they have the word in them. See, our life gets stronger and stronger, not from just getting saved, but also from rejecting the world system. We have to reject the world system. And I thoroughly enjoy these doing things God's way, doing the things of God, the abilities of God forming out in our lives. That makes me excited. And I love everybody. But I love to see people thrive in life. See, with the love of God, you can overcome anything. You can overcome frustration, anger, temptation, rudeness. When people don't want to be around, you can handle it because God is with you. Jesus once said, when people left, he said, I'm not alone. God was right there with him. When the 4,000 or 5,000 people, they left because he said, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have nothing to do with me. And most of the disciples left. And he looked to his 12, his own disciples that love him and stayed with him. He said, will you leave too? And they said, Peter said, we don't have anywhere else to go. They had the word in them. Everybody that left didn't have the word in them. And it's no different now. He's about to return, break the sky, meet us in the air. And the people that won't be ready are no different than the people that came and heard him teach and ate the food that he miraculously gave them, the fish and the loaves. But when he said, if you don't eat my blood, drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have nothing to do with me. And he was not talking about cannibalism. He made a statement that if you're not from the heart, you have nothing. If you don't believe from the heart that I'm going to die for you and be bruised and my blood is going to wash your sins away, you have nothing to do with me. But he put it in a way that they could, it was a parable. But they left because their heart was not in it. So when people's heart is not in it, they're not going to get saved. They're not going to, even if they got saved, they won't fill their heart with the word, because it takes sincerity to do that. People that's not sincere, they're just not sincere. as much as we want them to be, people that love the world somewhere from the heart, they did it on purpose. And so in 2016, the Lord started explaining to me that people that turn their shoulder, they turn their shoulder because they turn their heart. And the Lord's been pleading with people for a very long time, way throughout the decades. He's been pleading with people to study the word. I was there. I was at churches. I watched it on TV. He would plead with people through the right preachers to study the word and get to know him. And there were many people on TV doing gimmicks, and they taught the word, but they still did gimmicks. You know, the send in $1,000. They did all kind of stuff happened. But those that received the word of God, they were in it for real, and they'll be raptured. When people that didn't, they just wanted, some people just want to have a good fortune. They don't really care about what's right and wrong. As long as they get what they want in this life, they don't really care about the things of God. And now they turn their shoulder because they turn their heart. So those who, and I've been warning people, study the word, fill your heart with the word, walk in his love, walk in his love, walk in his love. Because I'm over here seeing good things happen in my life when people are struggling for no reason. But when you follow his word, it works. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.